Well, good morning. It's a Friday morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and others, in case you are a non-binary, you know, we don't discriminate here in Namibia. So, and especially here on Unpacking the Day. So good morning to you. It is a Friday, the 10th of the 10th month of the year 2025. So thanks for joining us this morning. And Fridays always have that good, a little bit of that exciting, good vibe. It's mental, you know, when you know that I'm going for, you know, it's a weekend. You know, your body naturally just, you know, attuned to that. So, but good morning. Where are you finding, wherever you're finding yourself in this beautiful land of the brave? And well, we were not brave enough actually facing Liberia. So, maybe we need to change that. Okay. So we were not brave enough. At least our hopes for the World Cup, it's gone. It's absolutely, unless we have to beat, Tunisia 7-0. You know, if we have to beat Tunisia 7-0, maybe we still have a chances of, you know, of going there. So, yeah, which is unlikely, definitely unlikely. So, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us this morning and for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company in this particular time, as the politician would say, at this juncture, at this juncture. So, welcome, and my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers making headlines. So we keep it clean, we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh, fresh, fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, all right. You are welcome. It's a Friday morning and it's the 10th of the 10th month. So as usual, we get to our segment on This Day Africa, and welcome to the segment where we breathe life into history one day at a time. So today is the 10th of October, and on this day in 1980, the ground beneath northern Algeria shook with devastating force. So a massive earthquake of a magnitude of 7.1 struck the town of El Asnam, today is known as Clef, in the Clef province. So this quake, okay, the quake lasted some 35 seconds. It's quite a long time when it comes to earthquakes, unleashing tremors that were felt as far as 550 kilometers away. So the destruction was quite immense. More than 25,000 homes were destroyed. Hundreds of thousands left homeless. So at least 2,600 people lost their lives, with 1,000 more injured, and many more are still haunted by the earth shocks, by the aftershocks in the hours and days that follow. So the hospitals, schools, and mosques lay in ruins. Entire community were overwhelmed with a loss. So one very, very, you know, one of the earthquake, very destructive earthquake in the history of Africa. So But 10 October is also a day of identity, if you're a South African, and memory in Southern Africa. So it is the birth date of Paul Kruger, born in 1825, who would go on to become the president of South African Republic. And he was really a towering figure during the era of Boer republics, you know. So his birthday gave rise to what was known Kruger Day. Yeah, Kruger Day, later renamed Heroes Day, first celebrated in 1882. It became an official holiday, especially under the apartheid government from 1952 to until 1994, when they got a democratically elected government. So that was now, during that time, honoring Kruger's legacy and what he represented to many Afrikaners. So after the end of apartheid, now the holiday was discontinued as a national public holiday, of course. But in some communities, notably Orania, you know, like Orania, and in certain cultural organizations, the day is still actually marked. A reminder of how history can be celebrated, contested sometimes, and carried forward through generations. So, on October 10, today is internationally. This has also nothing particularly had to do with Africa, but internationally, because we also celebrate this. October 10th is an international observed as a World Mental Health Day. So this day is dedicated to raising awareness about mental health issues globally, including the scale of suicide and the importance of mental health care. And today is Friday, so tomorrow you must tune in at 11 o'clock until on Mental Health Hours. We will be talking about men mental health. Make sure that you tune in from 11 to 1 o'clock. Tomorrow we will be talking about men, internal health, on Mind Matters. So, yeah, this day is organized by the World Federation for Mental Health and supported by the WHO, the International Association for Suicide Prevention, and United for Global Mental Health. So, yeah, today is a World Mental Health Day. In some way, take some moment, you know, take just a moment, few hours, an hour or so, just to recuperate, to mentally, you know, get yourself all right. Okay. So, all right. I hope you celebrate this day today and support those who find themselves, you know, in situation of mental conditions, and also make sure that you take care of yourself so that you don't, you know, get into that as well. So, all right. Welcome. And it's a Friday, October the 10th. Our thought for the day is actually a Nigerian pidgin English. Monkey de work, baboon de chop. You know, monkey de work, baboon de chop. So the proverb is a Nigerian pidgin English. Literally, it says the monkey is working and the baboon is eating. Monkey de work, baboon de chop. Now, figuratively, it criticizes situation where one person or even a group, a certain group, does all the labors, but someone else others, often more powerful, get all or almost of the reward, you know? So it points to inequality, unfairness, and also exploitation. So the proverb describes labor exploitations. So where workers toil but see little payoff. So while those above them reap the gains of their labor. So it also a critique of, it's also used as a critique of structural inequality when the systems is arranged so that effort doesn't fairly translate into a reward. So, yeah, that happened when we talk about, you know, beneficiations and all that. Monkey the work, baboon the chop. So, yeah, we found ourselves, even maybe Namibia found ourselves in that situation where we monkey the work, but baboon the chop. All right. So that's our thought for the day. So wherever you go today, just, well, you know, make sure that you find that opportunity where you can say, monkey the work, baboon the chop. All right. So welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. So what do we have for you today? So today we're talking, we are more focusing on borders. Okay. We're more focusing on borders. So in the villages today. So we have, one of the articles that looking at, NACC, faces major challenges, in reviewing cross-border mergers. So we're going to look at that. What are the implications for our economy in terms of that? And something that we were getting in yesterday, but we couldn't, the Africa Resistance Forum 2025, where those who attended that forum called for higher quality border infrastructure. So that is on the menu. And I invite you, you know, to the meal. So stay tuned. We will be back and get into those.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Well, if you're on lunch, well, think about Polana pie. Try it. Yeah, so haven't tried it yet. So maybe it will be my time to try the Polana pie. So, and if you want to advertise your business or you have an event, not just a Polana pie, but, you know, if you have an event or a function or workshop or conference, business meeting, whatever it is, and sometime you want to, you know, expose your event through via live streaming or broadcasting, well, that's what we can be able to do for you here on Eagle FM. So contact our office number at 083-288-400. So 083-288-400. So very good morning to you. And welcome to Unpacking the Day, your daily analysis into the stories shaping Namibia, continent, and the world at large. So today we're looking at how Namibia Competition Commission, or NACC, handles big companies deals handles big companies' deals that cross our borders, especially those coming from our neighbor in the south. So, South Africa. So, Africa the Sud. So, yeah. Now, you see, when two companies decided to join forces, or when one buys out another, so it is not just a business decision. So that can affect prices. It can affect the variety of goods and service available, you know, when that merger happened. Even job, right here in Namibia, when that happened. So, and that is where the NACC, the Namibia Competition Commission, steps in, you know, to make sure these big moves don't end up hurting us. And those of us who are these, us, the consumers, the consumers. Now, when you look into the story, the story is available in today's edition of the Villager by Nino Minavali. So, yeah, they have been digging into this. They have been digging into this, and it turns out it is not as straightforward as you might think. This is not just a straightforward business decision, as you might think. So the NAA and the NACC is actually flagging, you know, flagging some serious challenges, you know, particularly when it comes to mergers, you know, originating. Those who are originating from our big brother, from South Africa. So let's get into it. Let's unpack what really is going on. Okay? So come along with me. Let's see it. So, now, imagine you are trying to make a cake. Okay, I'm saying a cake because my daughter woke up early this morning. They have an entrepreneur day today. She woke up around 3 to make some cakes or something like that. So, yeah, that's why I'm probably the cake that come to my mind. Now, you're trying to make a cake, but everyone else is using a different recipe for the flour, and they have already started mixing their batter, you know, that batter before you even get the ingredients yourself. Now, that's a bit like the situation the NACC actually face. So, one of the biggest challenge, according to the NACC mergers and acquisition division, is how different countries, especially South Africa, view the market. So now, the word market, how do they view the definition of market? What is market for them? So that's one of the challenge. Now, if you're in Windhoek, the market for, say, bread might be just Windhoek. You understand? Get my point. The market might just be Windhoek. But a company in South Africa might see the whole of South Africa as the market. So now this difference, now the NACC says that now these differences in perspective mean that when the NACC, and its South African counterparts look at the same merger, they can come to very different conclusion about whether it is a good or a bad for competition because of the definition. Now, and you know, this in turn then make it super tricky to implement any fixes or remedies, as well as they call it, as they call them, that makes sense for Namibia. So, and here's a crucial point. Most of these big deals involving Namibian businesses are first approved in South Africa. And this means that by the time the merger even get to the NACC for review, well, the deal is often already as good as done. So it's good as done. So the NSCC feels they have less power to influence the outcome. So, and they are often told, don't worry. There are no problems. Oh, everything is legit. Everything is okay. Everything is bashash. No mahala. So no problems. So, but are there really no problems? Are there really no problems? Now, the NACC director points out that, Namibia's economy is already quite concentrated. So it's already concentrated. And this means that in many sectors, there are only a few big players. Now, when the merger happened, especially those involving South African firms, who are often much, much larger, who are actually much, much, much bigger, these few players can get even fewer. You understand? So, and that can lead, and this can lead to market shares climbing to over 65% or even 75%. And now, in any language, that's a lot of market power. You know? So, which is now, this is the biggest now concern for NACC. So now, this high concentration is particularly worrying for small economies like ours, like Namibia's economy compared to South Africa. Why? Because we rely heavily on imports. So if a few big companies control the market, they have more power to dictate, you know, prices. So there's less incentive actually for new companies. And this also, maybe less, you know, more power to dictate prices. And also would also limit innovation because they have the monopoly. There's less incentive also for new companies to even try entering in the market. So that is the problema. So, which actually NACC is highlighting. Now, this can mean less choice and higher prices for us, the consumers, because they dictate, they have the monopoly. And it's a classic case of the big fish eating the small fish. Yeah? So, but in this scenario, the small fish are also the consumers who end up actually paying more. We are the small fish, the consumers. So, and please make sure that you subscribe to the Villager so that you don't miss this and many, many other economic and business stories in our edition today. So, subscribe right now. Right now, as you listen to me, subscribe to the Villager, the number to, you know, where you can. You just send a WhatsApp message with your number and with your name and your email address and, you know, to 081-200-4144. So start doing that. I'm waiting. Start. I'm waiting you to finish. All right. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay. So another significant challenge is apparently the information sharing. So the NACC wants to cooperate more with other regional regulators, which actually makes perfect sense. However, there is a law. The law is strict confidentiality laws. In many countries, in all the countries, including potentially Namibia and South Africa. Now, that prevents them from sharing crucial details about these mergers. So, now, think of it like this. It's like trying to solve a puzzle with half the pieces missing. Would that happen? So now, if they can't share information, how can they truly understand the full impact of a merger across borders? Well, that's a question that comes to my mind. How would they truly understand? So, but there is that law, the confidentiality laws. So now the NICC is calling for confidentiality waiver, should be waived, to allow for better data exchange. And you can see why. So because without this, the ability to do a thorough job is severely hampered. You know, you can understand why, you know, the NICC is calling for that. But maybe for the other country, it's in their favors because the deals are already done when it gets to NICC. So you can also understand why probably the other countries like our big brother prefer that we strictly adhere to these strict confidentiality laws. So now, let's shift gears slightly and now look at the NICC own financial picture, which is also in the article itself. So it is important to understand how this body works, how this body, which is supposed to protect protect us, the consumers, and also promote a competition, you know, a fair competition, and operate. So now we are told that over the past three financial years, the NICC has brought in about 34 million from major filing fees. Okay? And these are fees that companies pay when they apply to merge or acquire another business. So, and it is interesting to know that these merger fees are their second biggest source of income after government subsidies. So this is their second biggest source of income. Well, the commission itself states it is a non-commercial public enterprise. So meaning it is not in business to make a profit. So all the money it gets is supposed to go back into fulfilling its mandate. So which is protecting us. All right. So, and what about those fines? There are also fines that this NICC, you know, charge when a company doesn't comply. So you might heard about companies being fined for breaking competition rules, and it sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like a lot of money. So the report mentioned, I mean, the article mentions that in the last 3 years, the NICC has collected 9.12 million in what they call pecuniary penalties. So the lawyer understands what that means. So they collected about 9.12 million. So in those pecuniary penalties. So these are fines imposed on business that have contravened the Competition Act. So that's all what I can tell you. So, and here's the critical point. I think here's the critical point. The NICC is very clear that these fines are not considered revenue for the commission. So instead, they transfer directly to the state revenue fund. So this 9.12 million. So this is an important distinction, I think. This is a very important distinction because it means that the NICC isn't financially motivated to find a company guilty just to boost its own coffers. Because if that were the case, one would start actually questioning some of the fines that are done. So the fines are there to punish wrongdoing and bad and and probably deter others not to do the same. So, and since its inception, the NACC has transferred a massive, you know, $65 million in penalties to the government's main fund. Now, this suggests a significant number of cases where companies have been found to have broken the law. So, So what does all this actually tell us? Okay. So let's get to, you know, so that you can come through and have your, probably your say as well. So what does all this tell us? So first, on the cross-border merger front, there's a clear tension between the ideals of regional economic integration and the practical realities of protecting smaller economies like Namibia. So while we want close ties with our neighbors, especially our big brother, South Africa, or it can be a sister as well, big sister, you know, it is vital that Namibia isn't simply a passive recipient of decision made elsewhere, which sometimes when you read between the lines, you know, that seems to be the case in some cases, in some sectors. So now the NACC is raising a valid concern here about the potential for increased market concentration. Now, that can reduce customers' choice, because you have no choice, that those merger become a monopoly. So you have no, as a consumer, you have no choice. Prices could go up and you can't say anything, you know. So if higher prices, if these measures aren't scrutinized effectively, if now NACC can't be able to do that effectively because of how the other things that we have talked about already, so we fall prey to this monopoly. So the other thing, differing market definition that we talked to earlier, they are not just academic. They have a tangible consequences for Namibia business, and especially for the consumers as well. So because it depends how, well, South Africa defined the market than Namibia. And the call for better information sharing is, I think it's a practical step towards a more level playing field, if you like. So, yeah, the other thing, the second thing is the NACC's financial situation. It highlights its role as a public protector. While major fees contribute to its operations, it's heavily reliant on government funding. So it's heavily relying on government funding. So the clear separation of fines from its operational income, I think it's a good sign of transparency and trust, I think. So it suggests the commission is focused on its mandate. So not on generating revenue through penalties. You know, that's why I'm saying it's a sign of good sign for transparency and feed trust into the public. So, but this raises also raises a further question. Okay. And I want to think really. So if the NACC is struggling to effectively review now the cross-border mergers due to information gaps, as indicated, and differing definitions, what does this mean for the future of competition in Namibia? Really? What does that mean? Are we at the risk of becoming a dumping ground for uncompetitive? Let's say, for example, are we really at risk? And this is the most important thing. And this is what I want you to, when you come through, really talk about, you know, focus on. So are we at risk of becoming a dumping ground of uncompetitive, or monopolistic businesses, monopolistic business practices from larger neighbors, like South Africa, simply because our regulatory body faces these limitations. We face these limitations. Are we now becoming a dumping ground of this uncompetitive or monopolistic business practices from South Africa specifically? Think about it. That's the most important part of this whole thing that we're talking about. That's the aspect that I really want you to, you know, to think. So, and we need to ask ourselves, is the current framework strong enough to protect Namibian consumers? Is it strong enough to protect us as consumers and business as well in an increasingly interconnected regional economy or even global economy? So, and given now that, you know, the NSCC rely on the government subsidies, are they enough resources? The right kind of legal and cooperative framework to ensure that competition remain fair, that our market don't become too concentrated? So, do we have enough resources? That's the questions. So, these are not easy questions, you know, and there are no simple answers as well. So, but by unpacking these issues, we can start to have more informed conversation about how we ensure that economic growth benefits every one of us, every Namibian, not just, you know, as we all know, sometimes just a selected few. So what is your thought? What is your thought? Do you think these measures are good or bad for Namibia? Do you think are good or bad for Namibia? So that's what I want you to talk about. So you may come through, have your opinion, have your thought, have your perspective, have your contribution on that, on this. So you are welcome now to come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-08-33-66. 08-33-66-091. What's wrong with my tongue? 08-33-66-091. So that's the number. So it is typical Friday. Friday is always quiet. So quiet that you can feel the silence. All right? So, but do come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-33-66-091. And we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. You're most welcome. I know it's Friday and sometime it's quiet like what? All right. We got someone knocking on the door. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I happen to be the first to call in today, like I was the last yesterday to call.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Early bird catches the worm.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if you will allow me to actually say what I actually wanted to say. Yesterday, if you can allow me, because it's I think it's equally almost the same.
Yeah, if it's on the topic we covered yesterday, it's fine. I can allow you that.
You know, I think I just didn't contribute enough.
Yeah.
The very first point that I wanted to raise is for people, especially Namibians who participate in this platform of yours, to follow the geopolitics and understand that it's not only Africa's leaders that are corrupt. Yeah. And then they need to understand that every corrupt activities, we learn it from the West. Everything. That is where we learn everything. And even now, that is what is actually happening.
No, don't
give yourself some credit, man. You can't say that every corrupt thing we learn it from them. So,
yeah, of course,
give yourself some credit.
It is within the system.
Yeah.
It's embedded in there.
Yeah.
It's within the system.
Mm.
That is where capitalism is. That is where monopoly is.
No, the issue I have with that. Okay, sorry. The issue I have with that is that you kind of like, I have no power. You know, I have no power. I have no choice. You know, I just have to submit to it because it is.
Of course, we don't do it because we want to do it. We don't do it because we want to do it. Of course, I understand what you are saying.
Yeah,
yeah. But and the other things that I wanted to say is about the credit rating agencies.
Yeah.
I think Africa itself need to make, to come up with a summit of an introspection.
Yeah.
Throughout the system that we are actually using. We are talking about African countries being complaining about this, credit agencies rating.
Yeah.
If you look at France, the debt, the national debt of France,
yeah,
it's almost 4 trillion. I think UK, Britain is 2.9 to 2.8. Mm-hmm. Germany is 2.5. How long does it take for you to accumulate that number?
Yeah. How big is the economy? Shouldn't you also look at how big is the economy?
Yeah, but you look at also the currencies, their currencies, how much money is that compared to ours?
Yeah.
That is one thing also you have to look at. When you actually look at those things, you consider those also.
Mm.
How many percentage do they pay compared to what we pay when we borrow?
Very less.
We pay four times than them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or even six times.
Yeah. Mm.
All these three countries that I have mentioned, they are actually compiling documents now to go to the World Bank or wherever they want to go and borrow money.
But it's their money.
So and the history decide. Is telling us, and it's telling us that these countries are not even paying their debt.
Yeah.
And they are not, what do these things does? What do these agencies does to us?
Like downgrading you?
Downgraded. They don't downgrade them.
Mm.
You see? They don't downgrade them.
Yeah.
Why? Now, you would now agree to what my argument whereby I said we should understand that these entities were not actually set up to advantage us. They were actually put there in place deliberately to disadvantage us. Even if they know that you are able to pay, they will not, because they know you might be at the point is where you are. You need also to understand the foreign policies of America, of the Westerners, where that says no countries
They're not designed for you. It's the same thing when the banking sectors that you have here. So they aren't designed for you, for your realities. So it designed for what they want to achieve, you know,
for what they want you to be at that level.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
want you to be there.
And they are.
They want you to be a failure. They give you and they say, okay, now maybe they are suffering. Okay, we gave them, and don't be under the impression that when they are not giving you, there is something wrong that you are doing. No.
No, I mean, if they give you the same amount of money, they give it to Germany and they charge you 10 times more. They're not giving you. They actually even squeezing you more, for what you don't have.
What is the national debt of, America?
Yeah.
37 trillion. They don't even pay.
Yeah.
Or who buys their bonds? China used to have about 1.3 trillions. Now they have 900.
Yeah.
Japan is having 1.1 trillion. Here's another country that is having about 900. British is having 1 million. Those are the Americans' debit. And American is, they are actually doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Why? Because everything is there. They are the ones that govern us, those entities.
Mm.
It is for them. They do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm saying we actually need, African countries need to come up with a summit of an introspection.
Yeah.
To look at themselves. Are we really pursuing a greater path of which we can actually see prosperity in our countries, within our country?
Yeah.
Are we within this? And compare them. So give them. They must give also references to themselves, to the other world. Because for me, the world is divided.
Yeah. The other question may be, are we in too deep that we can't be able to get out? So that we are in too deep.
Also.
That we can't be able to get out, no matter what we do.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. You see.
Yeah.
Shombe, I mean, not Shombe, but Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
You guys are doing great.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
But I encourage those that can read to actually learn the histories also.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we should, when we talk, we must just talk in vacuum.
Yeah.
You must have statistics.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
That's...
So this is where I'm telling you. These things are not designed for you. And I gave you fact as to how much does those countries owe, and they are not downgraded.
Yeah.
Downgraded.
Yeah.
And that gives you a clear picture already that these things are not designed to advantage you. They are not for you.
Yeah.
They were actually put there in order for you, in order for them to fail you. Now, the other caller says, why are we struggling to be within their whatever? Why don't we go and set up our own agency who control your money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How credibility is your certificate from your agencies?
Yeah.
And you are not going to borrow money to yourself or to any other entities. You are going to borrow money from the IMF or from the World Bank. And then the World Bank only accepts the certificate from those entities.
Yeah.
The one that they, you see.
All right.
You understand?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, great.
A good point he's making there. So you can only engage. You can only engage if you, we need to read. We honestly need, to read more and, familiar ourselves as with our history. That's the only way you know where you're going if you know where you're coming from. All right.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, that's me. How are you?
I'm all right. And yourself?
I'm all right. It's Friday.
It's Friday. So are we becoming a dumping ground for uncompetitive or monopolistic business practices from our neighbors?
We're already. We are not becoming here. We're already in there.
Yeah.
We are even overpass that stage. Because you can't tell me we even protect some industry for them.
Mm.
For so other competitive women around the world, they cannot come in. It's what we've been doing for 35 years.
Exactly.
Because if you remember, there used to be some UK retailers, they interested to come to Namibia.
Yeah.
And if you remember, even like the MTN, they want to establish also what communication in Namibia.
Mm.
And then we don't want to allow that. But if you see things which are merging up, every time it's a South African business coming through. And the problem is that, if you remember the issue of even in cement, when Olongo, it was not Olongo, I think it was a Brazilian cement.
Yeah, but the other thing, maybe the other thing I haven't mentioned is also that merger can also be a positive thing, you know, can also, things can become cheaper or, you know, because of available of certain things or products, you know, so it's also, it could be also positive on the other way. Yeah.
Yeah, but for us, if you are saying it is a mixed economy where we cannot protect anybody, anybody can come from wherever to sell even a Kapana here and do whatever the Namibian is able to do.
Yeah.
Allow everybody who's having opportunity to come in. If you remember the Brazilian cement, you remember the Brazilian what? Chicken.
Yeah.
It was also, then we have to protect individually.
Yeah.
The same also when it comes to Mejamiar. If you remember, there used to be some funny names from South Africa. But sometimes a thing, if you are able to protect Namibia, why are you cannot protect the industry like even the John Walenga X and the others?
Yeah.
So they can grow. The problem here, we have individual who are, I understand when we are talking about the NCC, they don't have money, but they've been in the business for so long.
Yeah.
They supported the established themselves. It's the same, I'm always crying about our organization from the north.
Which one is that?
For the one who representing the business people.
Nanloba, yeah.
Yeah, Nanloba, what they supposed to come up with, you know, establish yourself in the, like, having lodge, having bank, having even malls. My friend, that's the only way you are having a strong point to talk about even when come. People will start listening to you even, the leaders, if you're having my resource. But we are there, we are advocating things, but we are not really moving.
Yeah.
This SSC is not the one who was leading by Tarasaniga. Oh, maybe I'm mistaken. It's not the one who is representing the business people. The entity which you are talking about.
The NACC.
Eh.
No. Tarasaniga is with a chamber of.
Chambers. Oh yeah, that one is a chamber of commerce.
Chamber of commerce. Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm mixing up things. Okay, Mala.
This is
nevertheless because I was listening to you the whole time.
the competition, Namibia's competition commission.
Commission.
Yeah,
the one for competition. Yeah,
that is anyway, protect you from being, you know, let if the business. That are protected. Yes. Your comment you make, they were right. You were not actually wrong what you were saying.
But the thing is that what I'm seeing is that they are not really there for visible. They support, it's what I'm saying, they've been in the business for so long.
Yeah.
If you remember the issue of Olongo Cement. Olongo Cement, the owner, I think, is the one who owns even what Cheetah Cement now. But a competition was supposed not to allow those things to happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is something what, and then later on, the Olongo Cement come through. There are a lot of things you can talk about it, man, happening, but they are in their presence.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now, remember one thing, that even though when losing was sold, this guy is supposed to interfere. But they didn't do anything. Same with Namibia, what? Broly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are there, but they are not. They are allowing all those things to happen.
Yeah.
And now they are here back crying crocodiles that know these things are happening because of South Africa. Then if there's something preventing them to do, I mean, the parliamentary must write letters to the parliament so they can change that policy.
Yeah, so definitely.
Yeah, because we can't keep up like, you know, things are happening, but we're unable because our hands are tied. For how long are you going to be, your hands are tied, but things are happening in front of you? No. I think they need to.
Yeah, no, the whole question is that this whole thing, this whole merger could create a monopolistic business practices, because these are bigger companies or these are bigger countries like South Africa. And simply because of that could be also because of our regulatory body faces this limitation. They have all these limitations. And like when things are come to them to review, the decision have been made already. You understand?
Yeah.
And they have nothing to, you know, kind of to effect at all. Hmm?
You know, Mike, the problem is, I think, when it comes to our country,
yeah,
I think we are too much union with the policies.
Yeah, very much.
We
have the policies, but enforcement, I think that is something that need to be looked at.
I'm telling you.
Looked at and so those, seriously.
I'm telling you. And those things are the one which are shooting on we shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, who's going to suffer is us.
Yeah.
Remember the last call is talking about even that, you know, for a bank is from what our money is, where it comes from, where it will rely on. And if you look now, we don't have any bank in Namibia.
Yeah.
SM bank come, we kill it. We have now posted the list there, which I think the gentleman was learning it, he learned it very well.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the government is about even, I'm happy that at least even they move the pension, other pension to be supported by NAMPOST.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things they support to do with NAMPOST even. When even it comes to housing, at least I understand now they put it to the Bank of Namibia, which is a good thing also.
Yeah.
Or development bank. But seriously.
This is exactly what NACC is saying, that this kind of things, it can lead to a market which actually can, like the bank, can actually climb into over 75%, and most of the banks that you have are South African. And
that's what I'm saying.
And that's a lot of market power.
And then we are allowing ourselves, because now, remember one thing, that we are the one who giving the power of them to detect when it comes to house allowance.
Yeah.
So all the money which we are creating in our in our economy, mostly 90% or 95% they have to go to South Africa.
Yeah.
Starting from the retailers, bank, insurance, cars even, when we are buying cars.
Yeah.
Everything. It's heavy. Or maybe we are just learning to with our own economy, with our money which we can exchange in the hands.
Yeah.
That means the money which is circulating in Namibia, 5%.
Mm.
What do you do with that one? Do you think you're going to go out?
If we woke up one day and we say every, no matter how small it is, every foreign investor, get out of here. Get out of here. What are you going to left up with? Mention one thing that you're going to be left with. Mention one institution that you're going to be left with, you know.
Nothing. Even the, it's what I'm telling you.
That is 100% Namibian. Mention one. You know?
Which one do you know now?
You completely end up with absolutely nothing.
And even
if you said, take out all the buildings, say, for example, in Windhoek, you said, take out all the buildings that belong to the foreign investors.
Foreign investors.
You know, take out of their building, you know?
I'm telling you, we'll be homeless, all of us.
So, you will find Windhoek is absolutely empty, you know?
Empty.
The Sunlamp building of this world, the Avani of this hotel.
The thing which used to own, we start selling them. It's what I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time, huh? This country, I'm telling you, we are not learning our economy. We are not learning our country like the way we're supposed to be. Because there are sectors we need to protect them.
Yeah,
you can't tell me.
That's what the NSA is doing.
A person who fly 200 something thousand miles to come to Namibia, and they come here with a container of gru. And now, this person is owning a lot of property around the country.
Yeah, he's being innovative.
Yeah.
He's being clever. So sometimes you have to blame yourself for being dumb.
But, No. It's about opportunity we to get. You know, ne?
Yeah.
People, you remember the other time I said, no, this is what we need, Namibia, we need when you are finding this youth.
Yeah.
You remember the gentleman with the interview?
Yeah.
How many jobs are we looking at it's going to create?
Yeah.
And how much that the government is pumping the money on him? Small money.
Mm.
And comparing it with what the idea we come up with. It's what I'm telling with my friend, a lot of ideas they are in Pioneer Park Cemetery and the Oponganda. You name it.
Mm.
People are dying for their ideas. Because they are not given a chance.
Yeah.
You go to the bank with the boa. A small boa who doesn't have also anything and you don't have anything.
Yeah.
Maybe you are having a degree.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything in him.
As I said, you can just look at the number of applications from the youth. You know,
yeah.
that already shows that there are people out there, young people there with ideas that's just waiting to be funded.
Funded, my brother, the thing is a resource. And we, as a Namibian, we support to understand. These guys, all of who are the government, maybe now we already having a small percent of youth. They are in the 70. They know exactly where we come from.
Yeah.
All of us, we are so poor like nobody. And today, we have people who cannot tell you nothing. No, I don't eat mango because mango make me sick. I'm telling you, because now he's having a master degree. He's driving a four motion. I'm a local. He's having a house where they live together. I mean, two of them, him and the wife, and the dog. And then that dog also is having a medical card. You see? Do you want to tell me? That's why I'm saying no. I think here, the bank watches, they are playing even. You cannot tell me you can find me to get, any bike as long as I deposit 10%. But in the housing, you will require me to have 50% or 35%. That will tell you already that they want to have this remarkable asset.
Yeah.
Because the fixed asset is always gaining value. And what is are playing with our young brothers and our young sisters? Because I'm telling you, a person is lending a flat for, maybe that the value of the flat is almost close to 800.
Mm.
But he's buying a car more than 1.5 million. Do you want to tell me that you with your education, the degree, a master degree which you're having, a doctorate or whatever you call it yourself, are you okay in your mind?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear from others. Mm.
All right, my brother.
All right.
It's a Friday morning. Friday morning today. Kick it off. Kick it off. I need money to order English. I have to buy English because my English is actually gone. So, are we at risk of becoming a dumping ground of uncompetitive or monopolistic business practices from large neighbors simply because our regulatory body faces the limitation we have been talking about? So we need to ask ourselves, is the current framework strong enough to protect Namibia consumers and businesses as well? So In this an increasingly interconnected regional economy, so do they have enough resources, you know, to be able to ensure that the competition remain fair, and that our market don't become too concentrated? So, yes, you may come through and have your say on the first topic that we have covered. Our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you can come through.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafa Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao. ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira Selma, konaraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano tano, oliaj. Eagle FM, so aya.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Well, that's right. That's your number one talk radio station, 24 hours. And that's what we do best. Very good morning to you. And, you know, if you want to be connected wherever you are, if you want to be connected to Eagle FM, make sure that you download, that Eagle FM mobile app, you know. So, and you won't have any limitation wherever you find yourself. You're not limited to the region or to a frequency. You, can be able to connect to your favorite show at any time.
A very good morning to you.
Bon dia, family.
Bon dia, como está?
Epa, aqui está bonito, está fresco, estamos bem.
Está fresh?
Está fresco, é.
Otherwise, it's a Friday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, we had a beautiful weather today. The reason why I'm in this mood is just... Is that that weather, as if you are in that, you know that Swakop moon kind of weather?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that. It's nice and cool and cloud, not cloudy, like kind of like overshadow the whole sky.
Yeah, you feel like you're a billionaire.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be a billionaire, man.
Okay.
What do I do with all that money?
Build in your country.
Yeah?
Build your country.
Ah, now, man, there is money already. They're just misusing it.
Yeah. Maybe going to the wrong direction.
Yeah?
Maybe going to the wrong direction.
Yeah, no, I just need enough. I don't need a billionaire. I don't want to be a billionaire.
You should have to build your country.
Yeah, because what I want,
build like malls. Build like.
There are even malls, my friend. There are malls that are empty. There are already malls that are empty. That needs that still needs shops.
You build like your matalaka.
Do you know what Jesus said? The poor people will be always with you. You know. that you see. When you do that, you're still actually looking for more money. You understand?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to build our country. We need to build our country.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. From where we are, we definitely need to.
We are the government. We should also do something.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday,
yeah.
I wanted to bring you back, like you said, what I was saying yesterday and what are you saying today?
Yeah.
We are complaining about the sound we are getting, and they don't include us on the conversations.
Yeah.
And where I was telling you to say, the National Security Council, which the late Robert Mugabe always think about it, and now, the Honorable Netumbo, when she went there, she said, we need somebody to sit here to hear these problems.
Yeah.
So if there's nobody who sit there, how will we get the information?
Yeah.
It's very difficult because they do their things, you don't know, they just come to us where they already finalized everything.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the problem there. You know, we need to have in that stage some representative in that system, because without it, it's very difficult for us also to be part of this. We are in the same bus, but we are in the caravan behind.
Yeah. So sometimes when people, when we're looking at what is happening, for example, either in our country or whatever. Sometimes we're looking at this as if the government only started a few months ago. Yes, you are right. The government has been in existence for years now.
You remember that caller? I think the first caller was saying, like, listen.
Yeah.
Not all African work, not just African work is corrupt. Yeah. Even in Europe.
Well, of course.
It's right. You know, it's right because sometimes, let me go. I'm not talking about because I have a.
But in saying that, just quickly, you can hear me. I can hear you.
Well, yeah, okay.
Mm.
You know, like in America, they were Trump, not they were Obama. Mm. The system was different. Not just Trump. The system is different. So we have leaders who can come to the government and they can shape the country to look better and beautiful. Yeah. This leader who come there, they just kill the country to go down. Now look. It's like Namibia was in the war. They just get independence yesterday, but when Netumbo came in. Imagine that. So everything is rising up. So leaders, we are different.
Yeah, but I don't buy the idea of, for example of okay, other countries like in Europe or other wherever are also corrupt. That's kind of like, okay, I can be corrupt because others are also corrupt. No. Yeah, you could be completely not corrupt. So it doesn't matter whether European are corrupt, Asian are corrupt or whatever. You could be completely not corrupt. So that's not a justification to say, well, we are corrupt, but not as corrupt as, no.
in real life, you copy what you know is if our country is doing. You copy. We look in South Africa. Talking. Why South Africa? There are hospitals having medications. Why South Africa? And this and why you don't have the same thing? Why?
What I'm saying is that don't tolerate bad practices just because it's being done elsewhere.
No. Yeah. I think his idea not to say is practicing the bad practicing. He's just saying that listen, these things like this since way back.
Yeah.
Something of yesterday. So we just need to be more polite and more communicate and talk about it to minimize this kind of a problem. Just imagine now, for you to fly from here now in the media, you must go to Zimbabwe. You must pass South Africa. I was laughing when you were saying you, what if the European took their things? Where we are sending? I was just laughing and say, even now today, for you to fly, you cannot fly from here to Botswana,
yeah.
to South Africa, to Zimbabwe. You pass through South Africa. You're going to report yourself to the bosses, and then you can go now.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask, like, that Mike, we have a lot of business family who are calling this radio.
Yeah.
When they call, ask them, you're a business guy? Yes. And what did you do in your village?
Yeah.
I guess even just a borehole. What did you do? And here you are complaining.
Mm.
What did you do? Did you get the money? Yes, but what did you do?
Yeah.
Did you buy Range Rovers and marry two young ladies?
Yeah.
Oh, just come here complain. Because we have people who also get money, and they never even try to build the where he's staying. Even a sample thing, my brother, even a mall or whatever, you know, even a WhatsApp tent or whatever, just to help your community. They never, but they're here.
Mm.
They are clever.
Yeah.
No, we are doing well. I think we are doing well.
All right. No, that's.
I need to talk about it.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. No. Definitely. And I always said, look, comparison in terms of I want the best. You understand? I cannot say don't tolerate bad practices just because there's someone else doing it worse. You understand?
We want the best.
Yeah.
But Mike, I think it's my idea, and we want the best. Even today, we look in South Africa. Why South Africa hospitals in the village there's medications?
Mm.
Why we don't know the same thing? And we want to that thing also to happen in Namibia and Angola. Something from Namibia. Why Namibia is having abattoir in the village, but I don't have even abattoir in the village? Why Namibia is having a clinic in the village villages and people are? You see, if you go like now to the border of Namibia and Angola. People are coming more to Namibia to get help, medical treatment in Namibia. Why?
Yeah.
And in Angola, if you think about Angola, it's a risk country.
Yeah.
Nothing is wrong with us. So, no, we complain in Angola. We say, we want to be like Namibia. So, we want to be like South Africa.
Mm. All right.
All right, my brother.
Great, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, as I said, you know, I want to be the country that other country are jealous about, you know, that's what I want. So sometimes I'm okay. That means I'm talking not really in terms of, you know, when we say certain things, when we maybe criticize certain things, it doesn't mean that we are as worse as the other country or something or whatever the case may be, but we want to be the country that other countries are jealous about, that are making that we become number one in everything. So why can't we? Why can't we? You know? So, and the whole question of, leave it. Okay. We can tolerate that practice just because there are those who are worse than us. I think that it shouldn't. That shouldn't buy. Shouldn't work at all. All right. So, yeah. So, or to say, no, we shouldn't be too hard to ourselves because, you know, there are those who are worse off. You know, if it's in our means, let's have it. Eh? If it's in our means, let's have it. That's why we're given all these resources. Eh? So, or we say, okay, let the few enjoy themselves. There are other countries that are even worse off. You know, there are countries that only have two who actually. So, but ours are 10 who are actually enjoying themselves. So other countries are only about 2 people. So no, don't tolerate any bad practices. You know, so that's the point. All right. 0833-66091. Let's get to our second story. And then I will allow you to come through later on. So it is Friday. I let sometimes, you know, you bring in any other issues that you probably in your mind. I'm a little bit lenient. So I let you talk other issues that even if don't really relate to what we're talking about. Yeah. So, all right. Friday we're a little bit loose, you know, okay. So welcome back. So to Unpacking the Day. And as I said, this is your daily analysis into stories that are shaping our nations and our continent. So, and in this segment, we're going to look at what leaders across Africa are saying about making our borders work better for all of us. All right. So now let's say, for example, I started yesterday and I couldn't, and I always give that example of a Mahango biscuit. Let's say you have a product, a really fantastic product. What is these other things? Maybe we have a skundu that is bottled up. You have a magongo, maybe it's, you know, the marula juice. Do we have a marula juice? O magongo aturango mo makende. Huh? You see? Delicious Namibian marula juice. Eh? Or maybe something else. So now you want to sell it to someone in just across the border in Botswana or maybe even in Angola or even in South Africa. Sound like a good idea, isn't it? That's simple as well, you know. But then you hit the border. So when you come to the borders, then paperwork, queues, delays, you know, you name it. Suddenly, that simple transaction, just that simple transaction, becomes a headache, you know. And this is not just about our small business. This is not talking about a small business. It is a massive issue. This is a massive issue affecting how goods and people move across the entire continent. That's an issue. And recently, at the Africa Resilient Forum in Abidjan in Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. A lot of people, a lot of important people, you know, from international organizations, African governments, and even business leaders, you know, got together. They got together. They were talking about how to make Africa more resilient. That word, resilient. Eh? Go and search up that word in business terms. Resilient, more peaceful, and importantly, actually more prosperous. So, and a big part of that conversation, making our border work better. How do we make our border work better? So the main idea that kept popping up in the concept, that kept popping up is the concept of a single digitized checkpoint. What do you think of that? A single digitized checkpoint. It happened in some European country. So especially a one-stop shop at our borders. Huh? Just a one-stop shop at our borders. So now imagine you driving up, going through one set of checks, and you're done. Just one set of checks and you are done. No more endless back and forth between different departments and different countries, you know? So just one set of checks and you're gone. So, and this is being pushed as a key. Now, this is now that's what's being pushed as a key way. It's a key way to speed up the movement of people, the movement of goods. So if we're talking about definitely, and now that's not a brand new idea anyway. Yeah. That's not a brand new idea. In 2021, the African Union launched the huge initiative called, do you know what it's called? The huge initiative that they have launched in 2021. Do you remember what it is? Of course, the African Continental Free Trade Area. So the idea is actually not new completely. So, and what is the goal? The goal is to create one big market across Africa. So making it easier for us to trade with each other, boosting our industries, you know, develop our infrastructure, and, you know, the most important part, grow our agriculture. So, and by the early this year, we have 49 African countries had signed. They have signed up, meaning that this the Africa Continental Free Trade Area has the potential to reach over 1.3 billion people. That's the potential we have. And that is, I was talking about market earlier on. So that is staggering market. That's massive, a massive opportunity, for, not only for Namibia, for any other African country. So, but let's think about this for a moment, okay? Let's put on our hat. Okay? Now, the forum heard that having this single border post, having now this single border post is the ideal. Yeah, it's the ideal now. So, but what is making it happen? Or what is not making it happen? What are the problems? What are the issues? You know, one of the key speakers, Mohamed Abdike from the International Organization of Migration, stressed that political will is absolutely essential. Do our leaders, well, they can talk about it, but is there a will to actually do it? Eh? It's not just about actually building a, so the thing is not just about building a fancy building, you know? It's about our leaders making a conscious, you know, and Kanjengo always said, a deliberate decision to prioritize this Is this a deliberate decision to prioritize it? Is this a conscious decision to prioritize this? So, and that's what he's talking about, the political will. Because you can talk about it, you can put up some building, but, you know. So now he urged, you know, everyone, you, me, to advocate to our government about the importance of moving goods and people freely. That's why it's called, you know, the Africa, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. So that we must, that should become a reality. When it's going to become a reality? We're talking about now, we only sent what? What is that we sent to Nigeria? A bag of salt to Nigeria. Yeah, and then once in a while we do that for other. No, this should become a norm. Instead of our products and good, no, you know, their direction shouldn't be Europe and, yes, for diversification, Europe and America. So we should more trade more inwards. So that's the whole idea. Now, he also mentioned that this is not just about, this is not just for custom duties. It's about like science and technology too as well. So we should be able, you know, other countries may well actually, you know, advance in terms of this, you know. Think about it. Think about faster movement of researchers, of equipment, you know, of shared knowledge, you know, in that area as well. That's what he's talking about, not just goods and people. And now, the International Organization for Migration has tried this before. They have tried it before. They mentioned a project between Congo and Rwanda that worked for a while, and underlined the key phrase there, work for a while. You know, work for a while. So they're also working with the African Development Bank on a similar project between the Central African Republic and Cameroon. And this suggests that while the intention is good, making it work long term consistently, underlying the word consistently, is the real challenge. So the trial has happened, but, you know, making it work long-term, consistently, that is the real challenge. Now, it's one thing, really. It's one thing to build a structure, okay? It's another to make the system and people within it function efficiently and without corruptions. We were talking about this earlier. You know, we're talking about the other, where he said, actually their system is the system that actually make African corrupt. It's embedded within the ministry. I mean, it's embedded within the system, you know, as the earlier caller said. So, but this is the thing, that building a structure, I think it's not a difficult thing to do. So making now the system and the people using the system, you know, function efficiently and without corruption, that is that's the challenge. That's the question. So, and speaking of efficiency and corruption, now this is where the digitization part comes in. The Liberian Minister of Commerce and Industry, Magdalene Dagose, pointed out that we need to digitize our border services. All right? This is the main point, that we need to digitize our border services. So this means using technology now to track who and what is crossing. So using technology. Now, she believed this can help fight corruption. So she believed that, you know, that's the only way we can fight corruption. If you have a digital record of every entry and exit, every cargo declaration, it becomes much harder for the official actually to skim off the top, or for illicit good to slip through unnoticed. So, well, depending, remember what I said? You can all have this, but the system. So the system idea, the digital system makes things transparent, you know, and we know how many people have left or entered, and this prevents other problems, according now to Mrs. Magdalene Madagose. So he's saying that the digital system would make things transparent, all right? So, but when we suggest things like this in these meetings, we also have to understand our context, you know? When we look at that, I mean, when if that's the case, that's a win-win for us as well, you know, for any country. So it could mean faster trade, yeah? More legitimate business coming through, less of our hard-earned money disappearing into some pockets. So, but the question is, does it really solve everything? Now, let's now consider what Ziad Hamaoui, or Hamaoui, from the Borderless Alliance, had to say, because it does make it's his organization work private sectors across private sector actors in West Africa. So, and he highlighted a very critical point, a very, very, very critical point, that there's a formal trade, and there is an informal trade, and then there is illicit trade. And smuggling, that's now Ngungula, okay? So there's the formal trade, informal trade, and there's Ngungula, okay? The illicit trade and smuggling. So, and he stated quite boldly that the volume of trade in the informal sector is higher than in the formal sector. All right? So follow his argument. So the volume of trade is in the informal sector is higher than in the formal sector. So this massive statistics now, especially for a continent where many economies rely heavily on a small business and the informal sector. So this is actually a telling statistic, because in Africa, the economy rely heavily on small businesses and the informal sector. Now, if the informal trade is bigger than the formal trade, now the question is, are we talking about improving formal trade through single border posts and digitization? Are we really addressing the biggest chunk of cross-border economic activities? Good question. Good observation. Are we really addressing the biggest chunk of cross-border economic activities? So Hamaoui argued that if you don't know what's going on in the informal sector, you know, which is the where many economies rely heavily on, you know, in terms, especially in our continent. So he argued that if you don't know what is going on in the informal sector at the borders, then you know you won't know how to manage it. You definitely know you won't know how to manage if you focus on the formal sector. So, and you may also, the crucial challenge, this is a crucial challenge for us here in Namibia. It is, because how much of our cross-border activity is already happening outside the official channels? Anyway, whether it's between Namibia and Zimbabwe, between Namibia and Botswana, between Namibia and South Africa, you know, and Angola. So how many of those are already happening outside the official channels? And how can a digitized formal system truly benefit those who are currently operating outside, or even unintentionally, maybe even push them further underground, you know? That's a very, very, very important question. It's a very important observation as well. So the African Development Bank, a major player behind this forum, is actively funding these one-stop border post projects. They are funding that. They have supported projects between Tanzania and Kenya and between, what is that, between Benin and Togo. So, and they see this as a trade facilitation centers. Okay, they kind of looking at as a trade facilitation center to speed up customs and border control. So the financial muscle is there. The political discussions are happening. So maybe we just get on board. But let's bring it back here. Let's bring it back home to the land of the brave. So we have borders with Angola, with Botswana, with South Africa, and with who? With else? With Zambia. Okay? How are our current system performing? Do you change something that works? So how our current system are performing? Think about the last time you or someone you know tried to cross, you know, or send good across one of these borders, you know, what happened? Were there long queues? Possibly, yes. Was the process confusing? Yeah, found that a couple of times also. Did you feel things could have been smoother? Oh, definitely. You know, that, yeah. And last time, there was a time we talked about how many people actually stay about 3 to 4 hours actually at the border with actually some of this, you know, this cool, you know, running. Yeah? Do you know how much petrol actually person then use just having a car running at the border to keep the things cool, you know? So yeah, think about that. Think about our own borders now. So, and if we talk about now digitization, our current system, are they capable of integrating into a continent-wide digital network? Do we have that capability? Maybe not only Namibia, but with our border, with our neighbors as well. Do we have the trained personnel?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, no. Sorry for that. So, I said, when we talk about now digitization, are our current systems capable of integrating into this continent-wide digital network? As a continent also, do we have maybe, let's say for example, you're on this side of Namibia and Zambia, this side of Zambia, maybe it's rural, for example. The network and other things don't work and, you know, there are many challenges, you know. So do we have the trained personnel, the technological infrastructure, you know, for this to function? Or we come to the border and there's no electricity, there's no power. So remember, you know, this work on energy, on power. So there's no power. So then, you know, you're still actually stuck. Yeah, you're even worse now. You're stuck for some hours. Maybe with papers, people can be slow, but, you know, there's a movement. Now, you are told, no, there's nothing we can do. The system is down. You have gone to these places. You go to the bank or you go to any other, you know, places. No, there's nothing. The system is down. at the moment. All day the system is down. What happened to the borders? So, yeah. And do we have, you know, the technological infrastructure? And nowadays, if you look at the report of how many cyber threats have been reported or something like that. Now, the cyber security measures, do we have that in place to support all this? You know? So sometimes, well, these are good things. Are good things. They are nice things to say on the platform, on the forum. But let's start where we need to start. You know, let's start where we need to start. Maybe with infrastructure first. Okay, let's talk about infrastructure and let's put some deadline. You know, some more deadline to say by 2028 or 2029, you know, this area, your area in Zambia, your area in Botswana, your area in Angola should have been, you know, should have this technological infrastructure. So then we are talking, all right? Then we are talking. Yeah, so there are issues, there are challenges. And the promise of fighting corruption through digitization is that also very exciting. That's very enticing. It's very enticing, but it also requires a strong system that can be easily manipulated. Yeah? It requires those strong system as well that you cannot easily manipulate it, because much of the systems, you know, there's still actually corruption happening with some of this digitization. Yeah. Well, it may help. It may reduce. But, you know, there must be, as I said, it should be strong system that cannot be, you know, easily manipulated. So the forum also stressed the need for civil society involvement. The Hamoi called for civil society in the designing of the public policies, that they should be there, be part of the whole thing. So this means people like you and me and small business owners and farmers and transport operators, our voice need to be heard when these policies are being planned. So policies are being, that they should be there. All right, because ultimately, it is us who will experience the benefits or the frustration, the benefits or the frustration of this border system. It's you and I who will be traveling and will experience this either the benefit of it. So we may be as well in designing this, we may be as well be there. So really looking at this, what we can take from this is that, for us here in Namibia, is that firstly, the call for better border infrastructure, like the single stop checkpoints. I think it's a serious continental effort driven by initiative like Africa Continental Free Trade Area. So this has the potential. As we see, it has the potential to significantly boost trade and economic growth if implemented effectively. So, yeah, that is something that I think we look at. It's an initiative that we need to entertain. And the also we talked about the political will. The political will is actually the engine. I think it's the engine for whole thing to happen. Our government need to be actively pushing for these reforms, not just passive observation, observing, you know, how is going? Yeah. Our leaders advocating for, let's say, for example, Namibia interest in this continental discussion. Maybe our ZADU, our Botswana do. Are they prioritizing the development of our cross-border infrastructure?
So, very good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Can you hear? I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good.
There's a noise behind.
Is there noise?
Oh, no, no, it's fine now. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you allow me.
Okay.
The topic we stopped yesterday, or regarding the things, you see, we always blame government. Okay, I know we were talking about the border thing with the African free trade and how we should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think sometimes also, let me start first on this topic. Sometimes, as those who organize seminars and meetings, I think for me, they do it for food and this and things.
Yeah.
Because why am I saying so?
But what you're saying is that this is an institution that's expected to do something. So they organize this kind of meetings.
Yes, yes. But where do they organize the meetings to? Where exactly? They come to Capital City.
Yeah.
Eh? What borders Windhoek or the Capital City is the town surrounding that city, is not so? Then you leave the border where you're supposed to discuss the issue, on border issue.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
So why can't they do that? If they have to discuss issues based on the border,
yeah,
invite the local people within that borderline, whether whichever direction, then speak to these people and make them understand your idea.
Yeah.
Is it? What is it that you want to strengthen the border? Because a person who is in Windhoek or who is discussing, or the minister who is sitting in Windhoek or whoever is sitting in Windhoek, have got no access to the border. Is it? By the time they only go there maybe once in a while.
Yeah.
But there are people who are constantly there. Now, if you are saying our borders, maybe criminals are entering on the water, who should protect those borders? It's the locals. If you speak to them nicely and you explain to them, they'll be able to tell you, because even if you go and you find, if you want to find out that something is stolen from one country to another.
Yeah.
Eh? Who tips the police or Interpol? Who tips them? Interpol doesn't know the area.
Yeah.
It's the locals. But whenever you are discussing something that are border related, you don't invite the people who are the custodians of that border. You might be, but the people who live within those borders, you don't invite them.
Yeah. The other thing, actually, I mean, just to add to what you're saying, is the, I think one Ziad Mahmoud, or whatever, the Borderless Alliance guy, he talked about the volume of trade in informal sector is higher than the formal sector, because now when they're talking about digitalization of borders, they're talking about the formal trade. And they are not talking about the informal trade, that it doesn't, that actually happen in other channels.
Exactly. And that's where we have got a problem.
Yeah.
Let's have an example. Let's go to the border between, which I know very well, Zambia, that Winera border. You know how much trade happens there?
Yeah.
No one records that trade. Not even whatever this, your ratings, whatever. They don't even know. But the moment you get out of Namibia, you are getting to Zambia, you start changing money, currency.
Yeah.
You change. That's trade. There is, if it's on one-on-one, or no, not on one-on-one, it might be, maybe if you give $100, Namibian dollars, you get 150 kwacha. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That's trade. Before you even, now, second, you find those people are selling across the board, alongside the border, the gate. Eh?
Yeah.
Which we normally call the border.
Yeah.
I don't know, because people, they don't know that the border, it's a law. There's no sense, like Malemayolo is used to say, that sometimes it amuses a lot of people as Africans. Eh? You build the fence, a gate, you just put a gate, and you decide that no, on your house, you then there's no fence, and you say, no, this is where you should pass, all of you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But that's where everything happens. Now, look at it this way. If there are no tomatoes in Katima, in Namibia, we are going to procure tomatoes from Zambia. If there's something that is missing in Zambia, bread or whatever, they also come and procure those things from this side.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
And you can go see, go check Oshkango. In those days, Oshkango used to be alive. Maybe these days. Go to Oshkango. No. People went to Oshkango those days. Eh? How much trade was happening there? You see this, Tete is holding a bicycle that Mike, you know, a baki, this small baki is of ours, those things.
Yeah.
Chief, that thing is that bike can load, will be loaded on the bicycle.
Yeah.
Yes. And that will be going. But who counts that? Because it's an African, and then you have, and that's why I've got problem with it. You cannot say business, one business is formal and one is informal.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. That insults of highest order. We insult people, but when they retaliate, then we say they don't have respect. You see, but the fact of the matter, that's where business.
Well, that's it's used to distinguish now when you're talking. When you're talking, at least you.
No, you yeah. belittle people. Mm. It's not about distinguishing. It's belittling people.
Yeah.
These people's business must not be recognized.
Yeah.
You understand? Yes. That's the point. You can get a cooker shop or a shop that you might even call whatever it's a formal. But there's nothing happening in that shop. The guy is just selling two tomato sauces. And yet at the border where the people are trading with the same tomato,
yeah.
which is making more money, and Forex is happening there.
Yeah.
People don't recognize that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one thing. One day let's shut that trade. You see how the economy will fall.
Yeah, no, definitely. No,
it will go in 2-3-4.
Definitely, yeah.
Yes. Because those people, sometimes they even come here and they procure things like clothes and whatever.
Mm.
They take to the other countries. Look at how the trade used to happen between Namibia and Angola.
Yeah.
You find that in Edgars, Angolans are coming there, they take a lot of clothes, material.
Yeah.
From where? From Namibia. They take them to where? To Angola.
Yeah.
Is it? Forex is happening with it, but no one counts that.
That's
so we always have meetings with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is where the problem, that's why I think, because the problem, who advises that we should have a meeting in Windhoek or wherever, when you're talking about finance, you are talking about inclusiveness or finance. The guy is there to go and be, and have it in Swakop. To do what?
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that you're talking about, that's the question I was, the people that you're talking about, you're discussing about, they are not even included in the meeting. They are not there. Yes. They are not present.
You are just there for eating. People, look, you see, poverty is a case. It's, I've been used against these people many times. And they don't just realize it. Yes. That's the purpose of poverty. Because people come by you to distract your development.
Mm.
Yes. They tell you, no, go have a meeting in Windhoek. Instead of having a meeting where the people want to talk about, say, okay, this week we are going to have this meeting on border issue in this area, let's say in Namibia.
Yeah.
We go to, how many borders do we have? So we say, this week we are moving to this border, next week that border. We circle. And then we inform these people inform all the people who are living alongside the border. Have the committees of those people.
Yeah.
So that the people alongside the border, where you cannot reach, are also well informed.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, let me come back to my topic, which I said, which I requested. I said, look, always we blame government. And I always say, look, government, even if when they introduce this universal health, they want to introduce it.
Yeah, the universal...
yes, it's us people who are fighting against government. But what I wanted to say is, let's do a research. Let government.
When you say let's do a research, who are you referring?
The ministry.
Yeah. Mm.
The ministry must now instruct all clinics and all health centers in the country to put IDs as part of the information they require.
Yeah.
Because then we can run that. Because to be honest with you, some people they go and get prescription from private doctors.
Yeah.
Then they go to the state. You get right? With the same prescription.
Yeah.
Then they'll tell the doctor at the state, say, no, can you change and then put it in this format of the government?
What? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
People are human beings, Chief. These things, let me be honest with you.
Isn't that fraud? Isn't that fraud?
It might be, but that's how they are surviving.
Yeah.
Yes. What happens is, the private doctor will write the prescription. The person will go to the state and then he change the prescription on the state paper, whatever.
Mm.
Then they will procure medication from there. Why? it's so expensive. To be honest with you, go to any pharmacy now and see how much you pay if you get medication. How do they go? Levy or something like that. Now, let you tell me, today, I have to go to the doctor, the private doctor. I'll pay maybe 400
yeah,
or 300. I should pay. After I've given the medication, the prescription, I should go to the pharmacy. The top up some of the medication is 600.
Yeah.
Yes. And then total it will be 1,000. Economy the way it is currently. Who is going to have $1,000 now?
Yeah.
For medication. People opt to go buy food than medicine, isn't so?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So now, where do all these people go? Because most of them, they either, you either keep your prescription until such a time you get money.
Mm.
Yes. Now, if you keep a prescription, is that really serious sickness?
No, it's not.
It's not?
Yeah.
So what do you do if it's serious? Change the prescription, get it to the doctor, public doctor. The same government that is doing all these things to for us, we are blaming it.
Yeah.
The private business that they are waste. I said one time, I said, when COVID came here, who was complaining most? Is it the informal sector, the thing people always refer as informal business?
Mm.
There's some big businesses. Hotels were complaining. Why?
Yeah.
Government as their biggest customer.
Exactly.
Is yeah, no longer, mm. Yes. You see, who was complaining? Big businesses. Because government is not procuring medication from them.
Yeah.
Why? But then, yes, you have got private pharmacies. Why are they not saying, no, private pharmacies have procured medication? During COVID, go check if you think I'm lying.
Yeah.
Yes. So we blame government, but all what I'm saying, government must come up with a plan, register, every person who comes must leave their ID.
Yeah.
For the purpose of, we need to run a campaign of seeing who, how, which type of people uses a private, public healthcare.
Mm.
If it's only those people who don't have Medicare aid, is it? But you discover that most of the people, because at one point I stood in one of the queues when I'm driving around.
Yeah.
I check, I said, but most of those people are working. Because a person who's working, you can look by the way they look, and they dress.
look can be deceiving sometimes.
No, yes, but most of the time, it tells the truth. A health person will never tell you that, I'm going through stress. Yes, you might have, but the way you look like it, smiling, it doesn't look like it's stress yet. You know? So those are the things. But if we do that, we'll then come up with a solution of saying, so what do we do? Because we have to expose, we have to expose those who are against. Because in the same thing, when your government wants to implement, you get some resistance.
It's
normal.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing. It's a normal phenomena. You know, other people say, no, but if this, they do it this way, then we are not going to eat.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's my only plea.
All right.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. No, great, man. Thanks for coming.
All the best.
Mm. Okay, great. Have a great weekend. Bye. Yeah.
Mm. All right. And our time is about 1 minute past the hour of 10 o'clock. And that bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. So we're talking about the Judaization. And as I said, as we move forward, let's keep our eye on our borders. Are they becoming more like open doors, a welcome trade and opportunities, or are they remaining a bottleneck, hindering our progress? So, this is a conversation that needs to continue, not just in Abidjan, where the whole thing takes place, but around our dinner tables, around our offices, and in our communities. So, it's time for me to say goodbye and leave you in a great hand of Tate France. And for me, let's see each other again. Let's talk to each other again tomorrow. at 11, from 11 to 1 o'clock, where we'll be talking about mental health for men. So that topic tomorrow on Mind Matters. So be there. Book that time. All right, for me, have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend. And don't do what I wouldn't do. If you do, well, just name it after me. All right? So until Monday, goodbye for now.